You'll take maybe a ribbon and put it in your Bible in 1 Kings chapter number 8. 1 Kings chapter number 8. I want to show you something there in just a few minutes. And then we'll probably also look at some verses in the Chronicles also that goes along with this story. I want to preach on this subject tonight from this text. And it's kind of a long, sometimes you have a long, if you can't have a good message, have a good title. That's what I've always said. Amen. And so here's the title of the message. It's kind of long, but it's When Things Don't Turn Out the Way You Thought They Would. Things don't always turn out the way we thought they would. But here's the thing that we need to, what is our attitude going to be? So just think about that. And we're going to preach on that idea tonight. 2 Samuel 7, and I think you'll understand when we read the text. And it came to pass when the king, that's David, King David, sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all of his enemies. Then the king said unto Nathan the prophet. By the way, this is the first time that we see Nathan the prophet come on the scene here. He said to Nathan, he said, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but I have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, and they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Father, I pray as we look at David's desire to build a temple, more than a tent, more than a tabernacle that was in the wilderness and that is now in Jerusalem. And I can just imagine that tent sitting there on Mount Moriah where one day Solomon will be allowed to build this great temple for God's name. But we find here that David has a desire, just like he had a desire to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to the people of Israel to a place called Jerusalem, which was the city of God and the city of David. And now he looks beyond that and he has a different dream or he has a different goal. And now that is to build a house for God. But God said no. It didn't turn out the way David thought it would. But I pray, Lord, tonight as we look at David's attitude, David's demeanor, what David did when God said no, and when God changed things in a different direction that David wanted to go. I pray that we as your people tonight can understand this principle that things don't always turn out the way we thought they would. They don't always go the way we planned. But God, tonight we serve you, and you're the sovereign God of this universe. You are in control. You know David's desire. And the Bible will even tell us that it was not a bad desire. It was actually a good desire. But God said no. And the Bible tells us later on it was because David was a man of war and God would not allow him to build this particular structure. But Lord, there's more than just a structure at place here tonight. There is an application to be made for your people that sit in Berean Baptist Church tonight. And that is, things happen. Life happens. Things don't go the way we thought maybe they would. And so I pray, Lord, tonight that we could learn from this text tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. David had at this time, of course, the previous chapter, he had brought the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. We understand that in the beginning, David didn't do it correctly. And there was a death that took place. And David was afraid of the Lord. He was scared of what had taken place. And David said, well, how is the Ark of God going to be brought back to Jerusalem? So there was a 3-month period where David began to find out that God had a certain way that the ark had to be carried, that it was only by the Levites that it could be carried. And there were certain things that needed to take place if David was going to bring back the ark correctly. And we preached about that. And so there was this great worship. There was many people that worshiped. And David, the Bible said, danced before the Lord. And Michael, his wife, became incensed by it. It's almost like people who get excited about the things of God, somebody might say, well, they shouldn't do that. Well, no, if God's in it, there's a difference between trying to show off and if God's in it. And God was in it. And David was dancing before the Lord and he was praising God because he figured out from the Word of God how it was he was able to bring back the ark. So now we move to chapter 7, and David, the Bible says, is sitting in his house, and he's got rest. There's no battles going on. The Philistines have not come to war against him right now. And David says, I would like to build a house for God. Now, I want you to notice with me, if you turn real quick to 1 Kings chapter number 8, and you'll notice that when Solomon assembles the people here, he's going to bring the ark into the place that of the tabernacle temple that he has built. But I want you to notice in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 18 what the Bible says here. It says, "And the Lord said unto David my father," so Solomon is saying this, "whereas it was in thy heart to build a house unto my name," notice what the Bible said, "thou didst well that it was in thy heart." So I want to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with David wanting to build a temple for God. All right? There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. In fact, this is David's dream, but God's going to kill the dream. He's not going to allow David to build the temple, but we know that he is going to allow Solomon, his son, to build the temple. So I look at it as, David has the ark in a tent in Jerusalem, probably very similar to the tent in the wilderness. Man, I'm being attacked by the devil through a gnat right now. What is that all about? Probably that dippity-doo I have on my hair. I don't know what it is. Mercy. If it's not a fly or a rat, it's a gnat. And so David is not just satisfied with bringing the ark into Jerusalem. He says to the prophet Nathan, he said, "I have a desire to build God a house." Nathan said, "What a great idea. until God said otherwise. So Nathan spoke out of turn because again, this sounds like a great idea. And God says that it was okay that he had this desire. But he's going to explain in a different text, because David was a man of war and had shed blood, that God said, I'm not going to allow you to do that. God said he didn't. In fact, notice this in verse 5 through verse number 7. He said in our text, he said, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I've not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. Then he says this, in all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not a house, build me a house of cedar? You know what God is saying here? He's saying, he goes, I don't mind living in a tent. I just want my people to worship me. I want my people to love me. And he pointed back to the wilderness years and said, I never asked for a fine home. And the way that I look at that is this. God cares very little for pomp and ceremony. He is more looking at the heart for obedience. But at the same time, he said in our chapter there, he said, but there was nothing wrong that David had it in his heart. And because David had it in his heart, and because it was a good thing, I'm going to allow his son Solomon to build a temple, but David is not going to be allowed to build a temple. By the way, if you think about God not caring for pomp and ceremony, who does God really need to impress in the first place? When he came to earth, Jesus Christ came to the earth, and the Bible said he tabernacled among us. He was born in a stable. He was born in a barn. He was not born in great pomp and great ceremony. He was actually laid in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I'm just telling you, you know, God came and walked a sinful man, yet without sin. And I understand that. We don't have to have pomp and ceremony to have church. Amen. We need to have worship and praise to God in singing and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. And then preaching the Word of God. You don't have to have a lot of pomp and ceremony in church. But God said, now David, I will not allow you to build the temple, but here's what I will allow you to do. This gnat is driving me insane. Don't think there's not a gnat up here, are you? I was just thinking about that. Are you okay, Pastor? You want to go to the hospital? Need a little help? You need your medication? This is what God said he would give David. He said, David, I'll give you rest over your enemies. The Philistines and all others will fall before you because God is on your side. And here's a sad state of affairs that when all of David's enemies were conquered and the land of Israel was enlarged to its longest part, David could conquer his enemies, but he couldn't conquer his flesh. And that's what threw the country into a bloody civil war. God said he would raise up one of his sons who would build the temple. We read that in our text. He said that he would. He said, David, I took you out of the sheep coat. I caused you from following the sheep to be a ruler of my people. I'll be with you, verse number 9, as I was with thee, whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. He said, I will. I think this is a good thing, but it just can't be you. And so God said he would raise up one of his sons to build the temple. In other words, David would not be allowed to build the temple. Then he talks about the eternal kingdom in reference to Jesus Christ, who was David's, of course, descendant, who will and who still today rules over a spiritual kingdom called the kingdom of God. And those who get saved move into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, we know, is the rule of God in the hearts of the willing subjects of those who believe. Now, David had a dream, but God said no. Now, this disappointment might have broken David's heart. But here's what I want you to see down in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 18. I want you to look at this. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord. Now, I believe this. I believe when the Bible says went in and sat before the Lord, I believe that means that he went to the tabernacle area. He's sitting before the Lord in the tabernacle area. And I want you to notice that that he does not get upset with God. This is the whole point of the message. I got like 12 pages of notes, but if you get it real quick, we might can get done early. David said, "Lord, I want to build you a house." He said it to the prophet Nathan. Prophet Nathan comes back to David and said, "You're not allowed to build the house." Doesn't mean that it's not a good thing. In fact, this because this is in your heart, this is a good thing. But David, you are not going to be allowed to fulfill the dream of building the temple, but I will allow your son to do it. And so verse 18 says, Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all of these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God. For there is none like thee, neither is there any God before thee, according to all we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for the land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt and from the nations and their gods? For thou hast confirmed to thyself, Israel, to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Somebody say amen. Amen. You would think that David's disappointment might have broken his heart, but instead the Bible says he went in and sat before the Lord and offered one of the most joyful and praise-filled prayers ever found in the Bible. You know what David said? God, you're in control. God, you're God. God, you don't answer to me, I answer to you. In fact, I believe the attitude is caught in the very first sentence. Who am I, Lord? Who is my family that you've even brought me as far as you have? Amen. Now, folks, here's what we got to get a hold of tonight. Dreams don't always come true. Right. Things don't always turn out the way we thought they would. I mean, we could use this message in 100 different ways, but there are so many things that happen that we never expected that would happen, or things don't turn out the way we thought they would. Life does not always turn out the way we desire, and our dreams may not always come to pass in the way that we think they should, but we need to make sure that in our mind and our attitude should be, hey, who are we? We are nothing but the servants of the Lord. And God is God. And God is sovereign. And I want to praise Him and worship Him and adore Him and serve Him all the days of my life. And I may have dreams and I may have aspirations and I may want to see things happen in a certain way. But God is the one who builds the church, not the pastor, not the deacons, not the Sunday school teacher. It is God who builds the church. Can I say to you, can I confess to you tonight that when I became the pastor some 22, almost 22 years ago, I had in my heart a vision that people would get saved and the church would grow and we would have 500 people and we'd have to build another auditorium. And listen, there is nothing wrong with those dreams. There is nothing wrong with having those passions. There's nothing wrong with all of that. But I'm telling you, God doesn't necessarily say yes sometimes. God builds the church. God builds the church. But it doesn't mean that His people are not to be faithful in preaching and praying and being a witness and knocking on doors and sending missionaries around the world. We did build a church of 500. It's just all over the world. Really? Sometimes when you think it like that. So it's important now and then, as David did, maybe just to sit down and be reminded that our lives are very short. And rather than worrying about or being concerned about what we can't do or what God will not allow to happen, to count our many blessings on what God has allowed to happen. Amen. And then praise God for what He has allowed us to do. Now, I want you to go to 1 Chronicles 22. And 1 Chronicles 22... And we'll just do a little bit of Bible study here, which don't count for preaching. You know that, right? For those who like to time the preaching. In 1 Chronicles 22, we find out the reason that David was not allowed to build the temple. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 7, and David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind." And we also know, not only was it in his mind, but according to 1 Kings 8:18, it was in his heart. So he said, it was in my mind and it was in my heart. He doesn't say heart here, but we saw that over there. So I'm just adding that. Solomon, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. What an interesting addition to our story tonight, that God would tell David why he was not allowed to build the temple. And then he praised him for wanting to do it in 1 Kings 8:18. Now, it's not recorded in our text, but I do believe that in that tabernacle, in that tent, that David did not pout and David did not pound his fist in anger, but he praised and submitted to God's will gladly. And God told him why and praised him. And David later told Solomon, the son of he, and think about this, of Bathsheba, of all people, who would build it. And I'm just telling you, that's the grace of God. That the word came to him and told him why he couldn't build, because he had shed blood. But he said, but it was a good thing. It was in your heart. So there is a value. I want you to think about this. There's a value in unrealized dreams. There's a value. God is working in our life. And again, there's nothing wrong with dreams and ambitions to do things for God. But you know, God can see the big picture. God doesn't just judge us by our achievements. He judges us by our disappointments. I want you to think about that. Disappointments come, and the first thing God does is He sees, well, what's your attitude about this disappointment? Boy, we can be disappointed. We can say, God, this is not fair. God, I did not expect this. Lord, this is not the way that I saw my life. This is not the plan that I had. But God said, but this is the plan I had. What a great disappointment in David's life, in your life, in my life, has many disappointments. It's been said that every man's life is a diary full of things he intended to do and dreams that were dashed and failed for many reasons. And listen, sometimes circumstances won't allow us to do certain things. I told you I had a dream. I had, before I ever got saved, even when I was saved, I had a dream to be a lawyer, but God called me to preach. And we should do what God calls us to do. Amen. And God doesn't call everybody to preach. If God calls you to preach, then you need to preach. If God calls you to preach and be a missionary, you need to be a missionary. When God called me to preach, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know if that meant I'd be a pastor, if I'd be a missionary, be a church planter. I didn't have any idea where my preaching would be. I just knew God said, you got to preach. And then I would read in the Bible, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And I'm going to tell you right now, I know my calling. But somebody might be called to be in accounting. Somebody, God might want somebody to be a doctor. God might want somebody to be a lawyer. God might want somebody to be a mother. God might, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, whatever it is, do what God wants you to do. Sometimes in pride, we simply set our goals too high. And I'm not really going overboard. But how many times have I read or sometimes seen the testimony of some little kid who said, all I dreamed about was being a golfer when I grow up or being a baseball player. And there might be somebody like that. I don't know. But sometimes that don't always happen. A very small people end up doing that. Hey, listen, if I had it my way, I would be a golfer, a good golfer. So even though I can't be, Miss Helen bought me some socks that says great golfer. That's good enough for me. I'm going to wear those socks all the time. Sometimes we don't want success enough. Sometimes we quit when the going gets rough. Sometimes, as here, we have something that we're willing to pay the price for, and David was willing to pay the price for it, but God said no. Sometimes life just happens. Think about David being a successful soldier, songwriter, king. But all too often we're not satisfied with what God has allowed us to do and God has allowed us. I mean, think about David. I'm telling you, how would you like be called the guy that killed Goliath? How would you like to be the king that made the Israel enlarge its territory more than anybody? How would you like God to use you to write the most of the Psalms? But then when God says that, well, that's good enough. And we in our attitude could say, well, I want to do more. God might say no. Because what you want is not always what God wants. Thank God. Here's what I want to say tonight. David accepted his limitations. He praised and he thanked God for what he was allowed to do. And let me just say this right here. And I'm not being I don't want to be a downer. Everybody's up and oh, gotta motivate people. Disappointment happens. Yeah. It's a part of life. That's right. But here's why God gives us disappointment, and this is why disappointment can be a positive, because God wants to see what our attitude is. Amen. When the disappointment comes. Because if we get mad at God, we'll get bitter. And that's not what God wants. David didn't get bitter. He again, one of the greatest prayers ever prayed. And listen, when you get disappointed and things don't go the way you think they should, go back and read David's attitude after God said no. Vance Havner, the old Baptist preacher, once said that he tried to pastor a church and he hated counseling, so he couldn't do it. And I say, well, I counsel a lot. I counsel Sunday morning at 11, Sunday night at 6, Wednesday night at 7. And I will counsel if I have to. But he said, I couldn't do it. And we know that Vance Havner came, a traveling preacher. He called himself a revivalist rather than evangelist. And he's probably one of the most quoted preachers I know. Our failure and disappointment can become God's blessings and victory. So here's what I want to ask you tonight. Are you willing, like David, to face maybe your limitations? And I've always said this. You might want to know your limitations as quickly as you possibly can. I see these 30-year-old guys. And I'm just going to bust your chops right now. You're between 30 and 35 years old and you get out there and try to play basketball with these 15, 16 years old, and you think you still got it. Next thing you know, you're doing knee surgery. Al Price was like that. I said, well, brother, let me tell you something. You might want to learn your limitations as quickly as possible. It'll help you from hurting yourself. And there'll be people that'll say to me, you want to do this? You want to do this? Nope. I'm not going to do anything that might jeopardize me playing golf. So I'm not going to get on roofs. I'm not going to climb no ladders. I'm not going to do much anyway no more. I'm just telling you. But are you willing to say in your limitations and in your disappointments, you can still thankful, be joyful and thankful to God for what He has allowed you to do? Now, let me just tell you something. You know the thing about David? Is you know what David did after this? David went and prepared the material for the temple. He didn't get mad about what he couldn't do. He just got excited about what he could do. So that when it came time to build the temple, Solomon had most of the material right there ready to go. Do you have faith to see disappointment in one area and maybe God's appointment in another area? Can you, by the eyes of faith, see that when God closes one door, He will open another? David is a great example that he closed the door of building the temple, but he opened the door of allowing him to prepare the material. He was going to use David to help get Jesus into the world. How about that? Wouldn't that be good enough? Now, part of that praise of David, he goes, well, look, who am I? Who is my family? We're just a small family from Bethlehem. I said, before God showed up to anoint me to be king of Israel, I was just a shepherd boy. Hey, come on. That's the way God works. But sometimes there's disappointments, but praise God, sometimes there's dividends. Let me say this. You can't fool God by using this text as an alibi and said, well, Lord, I'd teach a class if I could teach, or Lord, I'd help people if I had more money. Those are not dreams. Those are daydreams. I'll give you an illustration. One friend said to another, hey, brother, if you had $2 million, would you give me $1 million? He goes, I sure would. You know I would. He said, if you had two Cadillacs, would you give me one? He goes, well, you know I would. If I had two Cadillacs, I'd give you one. He said, if you had two hogs, would you give me one? He said, now hold on, you know I got two hogs. That's exactly what we do with God when we daydream about what we'd do, God, if. If I had $1 million, God, I'd give $900,000 to missions. You're a liar. What about quitting worrying about what we could do, and why don't we do with what we've got to glory of God? So in other words, don't worry about the $1 million you don't have. Worry about the dollar and a half you do have. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Because most of us has got that. So don't worry about the million you don't have. You know what the thing about David is? All David's desire was to have the best worship possible. And that's why he wanted to build a temple. Now, it'll be months and years before we ever get to Solomon. Or, you know, I don't know, maybe sometime we'll get to build the temple one day. And what a grand temple it was. Amen. And what grand worship it was. And God was well pleased. And I'm just telling you, he wanted God's name elevated and honored. And he never laid a brick, but every brick that went up, David had a little part of it. The world says, what did you achieve? God says, what did you aim for? I believe that unrealized dreams sometimes make us better people. When God said no to David's dream, he didn't pout all the way to heaven. He got involved. And he gathered the materials for his son Solomon to build the temple. 1 Chronicles 29, if you want to read that. Your dreams, maybe your dream is to be the greatest mother and father in the world, and probably you might fail. But don't quit. Keep being the best mother and father that you could possibly be. And transfer what it means to be a mother or father to your children so they can be good parents. Hey, sometimes those that we train, listen, some guys who train preachers, they don't want them to do as good as they do. No, any preacher that comes through my ministry, I want them to do great things for God. In fact, most of them are smarter than I am anyway. Am I disappointed when people, let me think about this, like I said earlier, don't have a bad attitude about what you cannot do, but do what you can do. And I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to run 500 people. I don't think there's anything wrong with that or not. And if God says no, then just keep on preaching and keep on witnessing and keep on doing the work of God. You know what I realize? It's God who builds the church. Do I get disappointed when people leave our church? Yes. It hurts. Am I going to change our doctrine and philosophy of ministry to keep people? The answer is no. When David died, his son Solomon was God's choice for Israel's throne. And one of the first things that Solomon is going to do is he's going to take David's dream and make it his and build the temple. He called in Hiram of Tyre in 1 Kings 5, who built David's house and shared his father's temple's dream and asked his help, which he gave. David's dream became Solomon's dream. David's desire would become Hiram's work. And Solomon talked to Hiram about his dad in 1 Kings chapter 5 and 7, 2 Chronicles 2. He said this, and I'm going to paraphrase. Hey, Hiram, you know my dad wanted to build a temple, but God wouldn't let him. My dad didn't pout about it. My dad didn't get mad. My dad thanked God for his blessings. My dad gathered the materials. My dad told me God wanted me to build the temple. My dad didn't quit. My dad didn't give up his dream. You know what he did? He passed it on to me. Amen. When we live on the side of right and set our goals high, think about this. We can inspire others to go to greater heights. Right. Mothers, when you get into that point in your life where you say, and I've heard them said, all it seems like I've ever do is discipline my children. Are they ever going to get it? They will. Just keep on keeping on. Don't stop. Don't give up. And sometimes we may not do something right, but I'm going to tell you, inspire your daughters to be better mothers than you. Preachers, who are called under your ministry, pray that they will do far more than you ever did, but be an example to inspire them to do great things for God. Amen. This can work in the negative way, and I'll use an old country singer, because I read his book many years ago. I think it was before I got saved. And I'll give you this. Somebody will remember back in the days of Hank Williams. Hank Williams, really, if you know anything about old country music, he was a musical genius. Now, I'm not telling you to listen to his music. I just want you to hear his story. Because one guy said he was the Mozart of country music, but he was dead at the age of 29. He was a victim of alcohol and drugs. His son, whose name was Hank Williams Jr., and most people remember back in the old days of Monday Night Football, that was the guy that sang the song. But one of his most famous songs, he wrote about getting drunk And when in it, a doctor in this song, the doctor asked him why he did that. And he said, I was just carrying on a family tradition. That was a part of the song. Family tradition. Our kids will do that. They'll be inspired to do good and godly things, or they can be inspired by your attitude and by your demeanor and by the way you live your life to do bad things. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Life will not always turn out like we think or hoped or maybe even dreamed. But God is still good and worthy of our praise.
Yes, sir.
Some people serve as long as God does what they want, and then some type of tragedy comes, sickness or death or a circumstance of life that seems like it's just not fair. And then they bail out on God. We can pout, we can get mad, we can blame God, or our attitude can be like David. Who am I? I'm just a servant of the Lord. God, you're good. God, you're great.
Amen.
I had a desire to build the temple, but you said no. You even told me why. Now listen, God don't have to tell us why. God, why did my spouse have to pass away? God, at this time of life, God, why did I have to get this sickness? Why did I have to get... You know, God can tell you, or God doesn't have to tell you. He's God.
Amen.
And remember, when disappointments come, sometimes it's to see what our attitude will be. Will we praise Him in the good times and in the bad times?
Amen.
Because He's worthy to be praised. God, I'll do what I can, and I'll leave the rest to you. Everybody got that? That's our prayer. God, I'll do what I can, and I'll leave the rest to you. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The piano and the organ begin to play here in just a second. And we're going to have a hymn of invitation. And if you need to do business with God tonight, has there been a disappointment in your life? Things just didn't turn out the way you thought they should? Well, my question is, what is your attitude? Is it like David? And remember, there can be dividends to disappointment. Lord, help me to have the right attitude. Help me to praise you and worship you in all things, even when life doesn't turn out, or it's not fair.